Welcome to the December 1st edition of the Canadian Business Podcast. I'm Josephine Lim, online editor at Canadian Business Magazine. At the end of every year, Canadian Business puts together its special Winners and Losers feature. Our writers take a look back as to how 2011 went. We have Interim Editor-in-Chief James Cowan with us in the studio to tell us more. How are you?
I'm well.
So who were some of the big winners of 2011?
I think the biggest winner that we've identified is the 1%. Those people who are incredibly wealthy were certainly protested against significantly this year with the Occupy Wall Street and the 99% movement that we saw out there. But if you actually look at the numbers and look at what has happened in the past year, it's the people in the 1% who really have seen their wealth increase in the last year. I believe they're up by about 29% over the last 12 months. And so it's that group of people who really have survived well and thrived in the sort of shaky economy we've seen, whereas you look at the rest of us, the wages have either stagnated or actually started to go down. If you look at issues like unemployment, the wealthy folk of the world aren't worrying about unemployment, whereas the rest of us certainly are.
Mm-hmm. And how about companies then that did well in 2011?
We saw a couple of companies that did well. One was Groupon that in some ways succeeded despite itself. Groupon just had an IPO, and there's been almost a year-long lead up to this IPO. And over that time, they've done everything wrong that they could. They were accused of violating their quiet period. They had to restate financial numbers time and time again. So, Groupon looked like it was stumbling towards failure, but when we actually looked at the IPO, they came off fairly strong, nearly double the value that they had been offered a year ago when people were trying to buy them. And so, Groupon, we've looked at it as one of the big winners of the year, almost despite themselves, they managed to succeed.
And unfortunately, not everyone could win in 2011. Who were some of the losers?
We think the biggest losers were the labor unions. If you look at what has happened, particularly in Canada, but in the United States as well, there's been a significant effort to hem in their powers and their abilities. And you've seen particularly the federal government in Canada really taking a strong line against labor unions. First of all, with the postal workers and sending them back to work, and then with Air Canada, where they hadn't even gotten into a strike position before. They hadn't even gotten into a strike position when Lisa Raitt, the labor minister, stepped in to head them off at the pass, if you will. And so both at the federal level, and then you look at smaller examples, public transit in Toronto was declared an essential service this year. They can't even strike at all. So overall, time and time again, we're seeing examples of the unions being pushed back and into a defensive position really did seem to come out as the losers in 2011.
And how about Greece? That was one of the issues that was on headlines for many days and even ongoing.
Yeah, and when we looked at the Greek issue, one of the things we thought was worth noting was one of the reasons Greece is in so much trouble is because there's a huge rate of people who simply don't pay their taxes. And so, government revenues have been starved for years and years and years. And now they've gone into all these troubles and they're having to cut back on government services and pensions and all sorts of things. But we think the people who really lost out on all of this were the Greek taxpayers who, year in, year out, have paid their taxes, have done what they're supposed to do, have been good citizens. And so we think one of the big losers this year is what we're calling the loyal Greek taxpayer, or the Greek taxpayer actually pays their taxes, were big losers in 2011.
And so how did you decide the big winners and losers? What were some of the characteristics you were looking for?
First of all, we wanted to make sure that we were reflecting the year as a whole and not just the 2 weeks before the issue went to presses. And so you see things like Groupon, which has had some problems with its stock price in the last few days. But if you take the last 12 months as a whole, you see that they've done exceptionally well, as I said, before, in some ways, despite themselves. So that was one thing, is we wanted to make sure we reflected the year as a whole. The other thing was we wanted to make sure we were getting some of the big stories and some of the lesser stories. We wanted to make sure that we were talking about things like Occupy Wall Street, the Eurozone crisis, all of those issues, but then we wanted to talk about some lesser known examples, things that people didn't necessarily know about, but really had an effect in 2011. And, you know, those are examples like Botox had a great year because it was approved for a number of medical uses beyond plastic surgery. And so we wanted to really have a depth of topics and categories that we wanted to address and not just talk about the big stuff that everyone's heard about, but when we're talking about those things, phrase them in a fresh and new manner, and then also reach out and talk about some of the stories that didn't get all the headlines in the last year.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a jam-packed issue. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure.
For the full Winners and Losers Roundup, pick up a copy of the Canadian Business Magazine at newsstands and visit canadianbusiness.com for our staff Winners and Losers picks. To download and subscribe to this podcast, visit canadianbusiness.com/multimedia or the Apple iTunes Store. Thanks for listening. I'm Josephine Lim for the Canadian Business Podcast.